Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Tzadik Beis. We'll start two lines from the bottom of Tzadik Aleph Amid Beis. We got up to the fourth line of Tzadik Beis Amid Aleph yesterday, but since we're darshaning the same pasuk, we'll just go over those last two lines. Amabchana bar bizna omer Reb Shimon Chasida. Final line on Tzadik Aleph Amid Beis. Kolomenea halacha mipi Talmid. Whoever does not learn with his Talmidim, in other words, he restrains himself and does not teach a particular Talmid. This is such a terrible thing that even Ubrim, fetuses, inside their mommy's wombs, also go and bench him, meaning they curse him for not learning with his Talmidim. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Manei Avar Yikavu'u Li'oim. What did this Pasuk mean? Says Gemara, we know that the word la'im means small fetuses inside Shenemar, because it says by Yaakov Avinu and by Esav la'im ye'emot. La'im means a fetus inside, that these kids are going to grow up, one is going to be greater than the other. Ve'en kavoy, it says yikavu, en kavoy el klola Shenemar mo'ekav lekavoy keu mo'ezam le'zoham Hashem. This is a pasuk in Parshas Balak, dealing with Bilam HaRasha, who says, how can I go and curse if the Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't allow me to curse? So we see that the word Yekavu comes from the word curse. The Ein Bar El Toira, the word Bar in this connection, we started off Mineya Bar Yekavu La'im. So Bar here means Toira. How do I know? Shem, it says in the Pasuk, Nashku Var Pen Ye'enaf. The word Nashku is from Elosha Neshek, to go and weapon yourself, arm yourself. Var, in this connection, means with Torah, pen ye'enav, before Chas Hashem, the Kaddish Baruch Hu gets angry at Klal Yisrael for not learning Torah and not doing the mitzvahs as they're supposed to. So, yikmuneh, the person who is now restraining, refraining, withdrawing from teaching bar Torah to his Talmidim, yikvul oim, even the Ubrim will Chas Hashem go and curse. Another pshat in the same pasuk, Ula bar Yishmol, Oimer menakven uisoi kikavra. This person who is not willing to go and share Torah with his Talmidim, then Chas V'Sholem, he will be gelechet. The word menakven means to make holes in him, like a kavra, like a sieve. Ksiv hacha yikavu li oim, ksiv hasam, that's the pasuk that we just quoted, ksiv hasam, vayikav chor bedaltsoi, that means he bore a hole in the delis, in the door. So we see that the word Yikavu comes from the word to make a nekev, to make a hole. So this person will become holy. They're going to make holes in him. What does that mean, that they're going to make holes in him? That means that his Torah is not going to be complete, but rather it's going to have spaces in it. Just like he is not willing to go and share his Torah with the Talmud, then some of his Torah will be taken away. So instead of it being all one concrete fact by this individual, it's going to be like a kavra, holds here and holds there in his learning. Similarly, the Gemara now darshins, V'omer Abaya, ki uchla de katsri. Abaya doesn't like, for some reason, the metaphor that he's going to have holds in him like a sieve, and therefore he says, rather like holds in a sprinkler that was used to sprinkle water over clothes that were being laundered. Some of this is a little bit difficult for us to understand because most of you have been brought up with washing machines. However, years ago, they didn't have washing machines. And how did they go and launder clothing? So they had some sort of kli, which was a sprinkler, which they used to go and sprinkle water on the clothes. Then after that, they had such breita, these boards where the women would go and move the shirts or the other clothing up and down to go and rub out all of the dirt. Anyway, why is this a preferable reference? I mean, both of them are talking about kalim that have holes in them. This is a sieve and this is a sprinkler. Was the nafkimina, so I think it's the Marashah that says that Abaya prefers to use the metaphor of the uchel dekatsri, since the Gemara elsewhere says, ein mayim ela toira, so therefore let's go and talk about a kli that's sprinkling water as opposed to a sieve, where you're sifting or trying to filter out other things.
That's actually the opposite. It's the holes that allow the Torah to spread. Mm-hmm. It's actually the if water is Torah, without the holes it would be contained. It would never travel. Would never.
Okay. I hear you. But we're saying that as far as this individual until now, he was a full kli where the water remained intact. As a result of the fact that they're not teaching Talmidim, now there are going to be holes in his kli so that portions of his Torah are going to fall away.
It's like what it says about Elizabeth Hercules, the Talmidim of Yochanan ben Zakkai, a kli doesn't lose a drop. He's like a sealed kli that doesn't spill a drop.
And here it will. There'll be lots of drops spilling out and sprinkling. What about if he did teach his Talmidim? What is his schar? He's zoicha to many brachas, just like Yosef HaTzadik Shnem uvrocha l'roish majbir. Brachas fell on the head of the head of the majbir. The majbir is the one that supplies food for the whole world. The majbir l'Yosef Shnem, it says in the post, Yosef hu ashalit hu al oretz hu amajbir l'chol am oretz. The time, of course, of the hunger in the land, then Yosef was the one in charge of divvying out and allocating the food to the whole world, especially, of course, to his own brothers and to his father, as we know from the Chumash. So just like Yosef got a bunch of brachas, so too the person who shares Torah with others, he will also get brachas. Whoever teaches Torah on this world, he will be zoicha to go and teach Torah on Yenavelt. Shenem it says in the Pasuk. The word Yoyra is either intentionally or accidentally misspelled in the Gemara, because in Tanakh it doesn't say Yoyra with a hey, it says Yoyra with an Aleph. But it could be that this is specially written this way because he wants to tell us that Aleph, Hey, Ches, Ayin are Mischalev, and he's saying Umarve. The word Marve, Parshapshat, means someone who is satiated. Gam hu Yoyra, he will also sate others. He'll make them satisfied by teaching them Torah. Or it could be Gam hu Yoyra with the hay, that he's going to go and teach them Torah like a Moreh. And in fact, Rashi says that perhaps what the Gemara is focusing on is not Marve, someone who's satiated with Torah, but rather Marve, a word Moreh. Go and change the Resh and Vav and switch them, and therefore it'll be a Moreh, Gam hu Yoyra. Person who's a Moira on this world, teaching Torah here, will teach Torah the Olam Haba. So now we go back to the Shaila that the Gemara asked already and Gemara already responded to several times yesterday and the day before. How do we know an allusion to Tchias HaMeisim and the Torah? Shenem it says in the Pasuk, Yichir Uvein Va'al Yomois. That's a double lashon. Yichir, of course, if Yichir Uvein is going to live, he's not going to die. Yichir Uvein Va'al Yomois Li Olam Haba. Ravina Amihoch, I have another right. Says the Pasuk, Rabban Yisheni Ad Maschofer Yokitsu, that many of those that are lying underneath the ground, meaning people that have passed away, they will eventually Yokitsu, they will eventually arise. Elchai Oilam, those that are tzaddikim, those that are erlechayin, they're going to have a chai oilam, in other words, a full life, perhaps it means forever. The Eila Lecharofis Ledroin Oilam, the others that unfortunately were Rishoyim Oilam Azeh, even if they do have a tchias amesim, but they will be lecherpa. They're going to be for shame and for humiliation for all the averus that they did in Olam Hazeh. Rav Ashi Moch, I have another right. It says, "Pots v'yata lech lekeit v'sunuach v'samoid l'garolcha lekeitz hayomin." V'yata and you, the person who never passed away, we say to him, "Lech lekeit." Now you go on your last road. The tenuach, and you're going to lie there in the ground. The tamid the garolcha, and mitchum, you'll stand up when the goyra will come. The ketzi amin, when the end of days come for the time for tchias amesim. Now the poshim shat the ketzi amin. Rashi in Tanakh on this pasuk. This is a pasuk in Daniel. Says the ketzi amin is like the word ketz hayomim, and it's similar to very often in Aramaic, the mems change to nuns throughout the Gemara. So therefore, the Ketz HaYomim. That's how Rashi explains it in Tanakh. Rashi over here explains the word Yamin like word Yamin. Yamin meaning the right hand, the right arm, kaviyochel, of the Rabbeinu Shalom. And what the Pasuk is saying is that during Olam Hazeh, when the Jews unfortunately have sinned, then unfortunately you had the Churban Beis HaMikdash, you had people going into Golus, and Hashem Yisborach kaviyochel went and hid his right arm, not assisting Klal Yisrael. You have in the Shira, Yimin Hashem Nedore Bakoyach, Yimin Hashem Tiratz Oyev. When Hashem wants to, and Hashem is helping out Klal Yisrael, he's going to go and smash the enemies to smithereens. However, when Kadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom goes and hides that Yamin, then we're in trouble. So now, Ketzah Yamin means now the time has come that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to reveal that right hand once again and support and bring up Klal Yisrael. If you look at the Rashi starting on the last of the wide lines, and then beginning on the narrow lines, V'ata lech laketz v'sanuach v'samoid, romaz loy shiyomuz, he's going to pass away, v'yamoid li'achar mikein, laketz hayamin, what does that mean? Laketz, at the time Kadosh Baruch Hu ends, she'osa Kadosh Baruch Hu l'hachzer yamino l'fonav, Kadosh Baruch Hu will then return his right hand to his front, so to speak, she'ri heshev ocher yaminoi, because during the time of the Golas, Kadosh Baruch Hu kaviyochel has put his right hand in back, as if he is powerless to work with it, as if it's tied in back of him. But now, the Ketzi Amin, eventually the time will come, Hashem will go and restore the right hand, right arm, in its rightful place, and then use it in the right way on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So, two definitions of the Ketzi Amin. But by the way, in many Chevra Kaddishes, when a person, Chas V'Shalom, passes away, and they are finished putting on the tachrichim and putting the body into the coffin, they go and quote this pasuk. Similarly, in Eretz Yisrael, there they don't go and bury in a coffin; they bury directly in the ground. They also say this pasuk when they're putting the mess in the ground. And Amir Teshem, Mesanuach v'Sam Ligarolcho, Lekeitz Yamin, you'll get up for Tchias Ames. Omra Bluza, Kol Parnas Shemanig Es Hatziva. Now we're going to have a series of memories now of Reb Lozer. The first Reb Lozer is related to the Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, and then we're going to get to many other memories of Reb Lozer which are not directly related, but it's the same Mandiyama.
This is Reb Lozer ben Harkness.
As a Bertas, the Amara, the Talmud of Reb Yochanan, that's Reb Lozer ben Harkness, the Yud.
Reb Lozer ben Harkness is a Tana. Reb Lozer is an Amara. There is another Reb Lozer who's also a Tana.
Reb ben Shmuel.
Okay, so it's Reb Lozer and Reb Lozer, but you should know 99% of the people confuse all the names and they do not differentiate, because most of them do not have the benefit of having such a star and such a scholar like Barry in their midst. So Om Reb Lozer, so Reb Lozer ben Pedos says, Kol parnes shemanigis atzibur benachas, zoich manhigon olam haba. Any parnes doesn't mean just a person who is a wealthy individual, it usually means a manhig, like a the Rosh Hakul, as they used to say it in the good old days, the person who is the head of the community, Shemanigas Tzibur Benachas, if he is leading the Tzibur in a very nice, gentle way, so he will have the schus to continue doing this holy work in the future. Shenema, Ki Marachmam, a person who has Rachmanis, he has mercy and pity, compassion, Yin Hagem, he's going to go and be Manig. He'll be able to go and lead them onto the brooks and the springs of water in the future. When the Gemara says shtei oisiyos, Rashi has two pshatim. It seems that the main pshat means not shtei oisiyos, two letters, but really two words. And what two words we're referring to? Are two words of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. And the Gemara is going to bring a series of psukim like this, where we find Hashem's name on both sides of a particular word. Therefore, Reb Lozer will say, see how great this is. It's Gedoy L'Deya. Deya, of course, means intelligence, means using your seichel. It's very important. Shenitna Bein Shtei Oisis could be defined in the Torah that it's surrounding by Hashem's name. Shenemer Kikel Deyois Hashem. So you have Kael in front, Hashem at the back, Deyois in the middle. So you see how important Deya is, surrounded by Kodesh Baruch Hu's names. V'yemre Bluza, Godol Mikdash, the base of Mikdash is very great. Shinitim Bein Shtei Oisi, Shinemar, we say that in the Shira, Po'alta Hashem, Mikdash Hashem, Koin Yodecha. So you have Hashem on both sides, so you see how important the base of Mikdash is. Masle Ravada, Ravada said, Ravada Karchino, that was his name. So Ravakaba Karchino added, asked, Elamayat, if you're going to tell him that, Gedoyle Nekomi Shinitim Bein Shtei Oisi, Shinemar, Tichsibit says in the Pasuk, Kael, Nekomis Hashem Kale, Nekamai Sefiah. So the word Nekamai is smack in the middle between Kale and Hashem. Will you say that Hashem's taking of revenge, that this is such a great thing? Gedoyla. After all, it says Natar Leisikam V'Leisitar. So revenge, L'chor, is not such a great thing. So why would the Pasuk put Nekamai right between Kale and Hashem? Omalesi told him, L'miltze Hochenami, that for its purpose that we're talking about here, in fact, it is a Gedoyla. What do we mean? Why do you have two hoifoyas? The word hoifoyas comes from the word hoifia, which means to appear. Why do we have two appearances? Now, one would say, just stopping at this point, that probably the word hoifia appears twice. You'll pardon the pun, but the word haifia, which means to appear, apparently appears twice because the Gemara is saying, Shtei haifias halol lama. Why does it have haifia twice? But the truth of the matter is, in the Pasuk, you only have haifia once. Kel nekomis Hashem, kel nekomis haifia, hinafi shevet aris, hashev gimul al geyim. It doesn't have another word haifia. So Rashi says, because the word haifia is at the end of the Pasuk, it's going back and it's modifying the previous words in the Pasuk. So it's saying about the first Nekamais Hashem, and then the second Kel Nekamais Haifia, that the Haifia, this, the appearance of these two Nekamais, is as if it says the word Haifia twice. But what's the purpose of, in fact, the two Nekamais twice in the Pasuk, and the modification, the adjective of the word Haifia, the verb? Zoktimar, I'll tell you. Achas Lamidas, Toivu V'Achas Lamidas Puranis. Both of these Nekamais that appear, one is for a mita toiva, and one is for punishment. That's what the Gemara says. We'll see the Rashi in a moment. In truth, it's both punishments. And these are punishments against the Umay So'oilam for the fact, number one, that they did not accept the Torah, number two, that they didn't even mekayim the Sheva Mitzvahs, and number three, for all the tzuris, that they caused Kal Yisrael over the generations. If you look on the right-hand side of the Rashi, of the Gemara, you have Shtei Chayfiyos. Shtei Chayfiyos is about a quarter down the Amud, maybe 15, 18 lines. Shtei Chayfiyos, Techsiv, Ken, Nekomis Hashem, Ken, Nekomis Hafiya. The Ikatre Nekomis, V'chod Hayfo'o, V'Trevayu. The word Hayfiyah only appears one time, one Hayfo'o. However, it goes back on the Shtei Nekomis. So the one Hayfo'o modifies the other two. V'dami Kimandi Ika Akol Nekomu Nekoma. It's as if the Torah would write the Haifia modifying each one of the two Nekamas. Okay, Chod LeTayva, Shel Yisrael, one of these Nekamas is for the Torah of Klai Yisrael. Shesilik Shechinas Me'umas Oilam, because the Baruch Hu removed his Shechina from the Umas Oilam, from the Gentiles. Ubo Al Yisrael, and he placed his Shechina with us, with Klai Yisrael. The Korli Nekamas, why is that considered Nekamas? Mishum de Tagmul Toivhu. Tagmul means a reward, it's a good reward. Shizoch l'shchina, that we were zoicha to have the shchina as opposed to the Gentiles. Why did we deserve that? Al sh'omer nasa v'nishma. U'nekama haynu tagmul. So don't read the word nekama as revenge, but read the word nekama as reward. And in a sense, it's revenge that the Umas Olam have lost the shchina, so they've been punished, so there's a revenge against them. But the real understanding of this pasuk is to tell us of the reward that Klal Yisrael has gotten for saying Nasa v'Nishma, so that we get the benefit of the Shechina with us. V'yachas l'peronis lo'edikacham, sh'nifu mehen li'yoy madin, Kadosh Baruch Hu goes and punishes them on the judgment day, k'namarinim perekam, n'psech sefoy tzorah, noikim Hashem, u'bal chema li'akum shehu, bat v'atzmoy u'bekvoydin nifu mehen, that Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, he's the Noikim, he himself will be the Dayan, and he'll be the prosecutor on that day, on the Yom HaDin, against the Gentiles for the sins that they have done. So therefore, in fact, the Nekamas is a great thing. Great thing in the sense that it's a Midah Toiva for Klal Yisrael, that we have the Shechina, it's a wonderful reward, and that the Gentiles will be punished for their sins. V'yom Rebluza, Kaludim Shiyesh Boidei, a person who has brains and he uses his brains. That is such a wonderful thing because we find a lot of people that have brains and they don't use them. Someone that has them and uses them in a positive manner, it's as if he built the Beis Hamikdash. This is the same Reb Lozon Lishitosei that said, Deya is so choshev because in between Kale Deyois Hashem, and then Mikdash is Choshev because it says Hashem, Mikdash, Hashem. Ah, so therefore, he puts the two together. Someone who uses his brains, L'toiva, and in a constructive manner, it's as if he's constructing the base of English. Person who uses his brains, afterwards he can be successful in becoming wealthy. Shenemer ubedas, person uses his das, chadorim yimlu kol hoin yoker v'noim, then the rooms will be full of all types of precious and pleasant treasures. That's a person who uses his mind and uses his day. However, yom rabluza kolonim she'ein boy daya, person that does not use his brains, also l'rachim olav, you know, l'rav rachmunis on him. So when it says ein boy daya, it doesn't mean a person who was born nemlich, mentally retarded. And of course you have to have rachmanis on people like that. We're talking about a person who has his brains, but he doesn't want to use it. He just says, well, whatever happens, happens, I don't care, and you know, I'm just going to continue watching television all day without exerting any energy to try to do anything for himself, for his family, for his wife, or whatever. So if you don't have any day, also, you know, you don't have to be merachim. Shenemar, kiloi am binoisu, al kein lo yirachmenu, oiseu, viyoitzer lo yichonenu. Kiloi am binoisu. If the am, if the nation is not using their bina, using their seichel, using their smarts, then al kein lo yirachmenu, oiseu, because Baruch Hu won't have rachmanis on him, viyoitzer lo yichonenu, and his yoitzer, his creator, is not going to go and give him chayn. So you get ahead, you get your brain. Use them positively. Do what you got to do. The Yom Rabluza, Kolanoiz and Pita Lamisha Ein Bay Day, a person who gives his bread and shares it with someone who does not use his brains. Yisurin Barna Olav. It's not a smart thing. Quite to the contrary. Don't encourage him to go and sit there all day and do nothing. Every person has to have a mission in life. Whether it's a mission in terms of learning, a mission in terms of business, but you know, not just sit there like a couch potato, do nothing. You have a brain, use it to the best of your ability. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, "Lachmecha yosimu mozer techtecha, ein tvuna boy." If you go and give your lechem, it'll be mozer. We'll see in mozer. The Gemara says the next few words is yisurim, pains and suffering will come upon him. The ein tvuna boy, by sharing that lechem with ein tvuna boy, a person who's not using his daya, using his bina. Like we just said, number yar Ephraim es cholyay v'Yehuda es mizoyray. So the Ephraim saw its disease, its illness, and Yehuda es mizoyray, its suffering, its yisurim. So a person has no daya, he doesn't want to do anything, he wants to just get alms from all the people. We tell him, mister, you have a brain, go and learn, go and study, go and get a job, do something.
So says you should not give tzedakah to somebody who doesn't learn Torah.
Not a person doesn't learn Torah. A person who's able to, and he just sits on his hands and figures, it's much easier for me just to slit some funds and make more money that way than working or learning or doing something else. You don't have to rachmanis on it. The Yom Rablazer, Kol Adam She'ein Bo Yedea V'Soiv Goyle. Person that has no seichel, doesn't use a seichel, he's eventually going to go have to machapleita. He's going to have to go into golus. Shenemar, chen gola ami mibli doas. Why did my nation have to go into golus? Lidoas, because they didn't use their brains. V'yom rebluza. Of course, brains over here could also be interpreted in terms of using their brain to follow Hashem and to do the Torah and to do the mitzvahs. And as a result of not doing that, then just following the atzas yetzahara, not using your daya to do positive things, but yes, to do negative things, then you go into Golas, and so on and so forth. The Yom Rabluza, Kol Bayis She'ein Divrei Torah Nishmoyim Bo B'Laila, any home where you don't hear Divrei Torah at night, in other words, they come home at night, and all they do is they watch television without going and learning even Epsa, Abisala, Ashtikal Gemara, Mishnah, Tanakh, Epis, Ein Divrei Torah Nishmoyim Bo B'Laila, Chas V'Shalom, Eish Ochlosai. Eventually, this home will be consumed in fire. Shnemit says in the pasuk, "Kol choishich tomen letzvunav." If the tzofen, that is the learning, which is a precious treasure, if it's choishich tomen, if it's all hidden in darkness at night, toichleu eish loynupach, the house will be consumed by a fire loynupach that does not have to be fanned. Yera sorid be'aholay, because this person that owns the house and is not allowing people to go and learn there, Yera, it means it's ra, it's bad in his eyes. The sorid We'll see sort of what that means in a moment. The Holoi in his tent, in his dwelling. What means a sword? In sorted El Talmud Chacham Shem, it says in the Pasuk, Uvasaridim Asher Hashem Kaire. So now you have a home where it's totally dark, called Choshech Tamil Litzvunav. There is no sored, no Talmud Chacham in the oil at night to go and learn. Chasashom Techleu Eish Leinupach, a fire that doesn't need to be fanned will never go and consume it. The term fire that doesn't need to be fanned can also be a reference to the Gehenim, because the Gehenim is a furnace that just keeps on burning from the beginning of time till the end of time, and you don't need to add coal, and you don't need to add any fuel, just Chas V'Shalom burning at all times. Talking more about Yom Reb Luzer, another member from Reb Luzer. Kol she'ina mahana tamid chom min chosaf, ina roi yisim v'brach li'oilam. If there's a Talmud Chacham, and you never go and help and support him, give anything for him in Nechasim, then you're not going to see a Simon Bracha in your own Nechasim. Shenemar ein sorid li ochloi, al kein lo yochel tuvai. Ein sorid li ochloi. If you don't share your food, that is, share your fortunes with the sorid, with the Talmud Chacham, al kein lo yochel tuvai, then your toiv, all that you've worked to see, succeed in business, it's not going to go. And ain't so coming to chum, shenem, like we just said, was reading my share Hashem kaid the same passing again. So therefore, ain't so the achle, you don't share your nechosim, your fortunes with the Talmud Chacham, then chas v'sholem, you lose your own fortunes. V'yom Reb Luzer, kol she'ena mishaya pasal shulchonai, ain't a roi yisim and brocha li'olim. Of all these members until now have been basically agadita, but you see over here, kol she'ena mishaya pasal shulchonai, this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that when it comes time for benching, you should always have at least some crumbs on the table. Don't clear the whole table totally clean before you go and bench. Rashi over here doesn't say, but a little bit further down, Rashi says that the reason is so that if a niyam were to come by, you can go and share what you have on the table with them. So that it's not that you clean everything away, and ani comes, oh, I'm sorry, we finished the meal, and you come back tomorrow. You should always have something left to be able to share with others. So if you don't leave any breadcrumbs on the table, the reason why I'm saying breadcrumbs, because you'll see the next gemara, the next line. He doesn't see a sim bracha. Here we're not interpreting sored again as Talmud Chacham. Here the Poshim Shad sored means remnants, things which are leftovers. If you don't leave remnants of your food on the table, then your toiv, then your fortunes, Chas V'Shalom, are going to decline. Aye, the same Reb Elazar said, "Vam Reb Elazar kol mishaya psisim al shulchan." If you leave breadcrumbs on the table, kilo oivet avodah zara. It's like going into avodah zara. Shneimer says in the pasuk, "Ha'orchem the God shulchan." God is the name of avodah zara. That if you go and prepare a table for God for this avodah zara, v'mamalim l'mini mimsoch. Mimsoch means pouring wine and diluting wine. L'mini, minimni, is the name also of an avodah zarah. So we have two avodah zarahs mentioned in this pasuk. God, meaning their God. There's a play in words over here, G-O-D and Gimel Dalet, but this God means avodah zarah. And the mini here is also means an avodah zarah. And the Novi is criticizing those that put up a table for the avodah zarah and fill up cups of wine for the avodah zarah called mini. Anyway, what do I see from this Reb Elazar? If you're Mishayeh, Psis Mon Shulchanai, it's like setting up a table for Avodah Zarah. And you just said, now you should always leave Pasal Shulchanai. Otherwise, Ein Rei Sim HaBracha. If in addition to whatever crumbs you have on the table, you decide to put out a brand new loaf of bread on the table, that's what's being criticized in the second member of Reb Elazar. So it's not just the Mishai Psisim, it's a Psisim together with a loaf of bread. Why with a loaf of bread? Because if you just finished the meal, why would you be putting out a fresh loaf of bread on the table? That's kind of crazy. After all, it's time to go and bench. The reason why you're putting out that piece of bread, that loaf of bread, it would appear to be, is because you're inviting now the Avodah Zarah. As if you're saying, okay, we finished our meal now, Avodah Zarah, you and your Mishamshim, you should come in and start eating now a brand new meal. So don't do that. However, if you don't put a shleim badei, you just leave the psisim, the breadcrumbs from before, that's a kutazach. That you should do, because they should have them available for the aniyim. So apparently this was a minig among those that followed God, that they would go and put out such a large loaf of bread at the end of the meal, as if to say, kum terayin now avodah zarah, now you can participate and you eat your own meal. If you look at the Tap Rashi at the left-hand side. Starts from the bottom. Yom Rabbelozer, Kol HaMashiach, top of the line. Kol HaMashiach, Psis Al Shulchanik, Iloi Vadoed Zara, Shenemar, Horicham Legad Shulchan. Shekein Oysin, that was the Minhag, Shemeinichen Shulchan Oruch, B'machel U'mishta, it would be a nicely laid table, food and drink, L'shem Oysa Avoid Zara, Shekoinen God, the Avoid Zara, that's called God, U'memalem Koyse Shulmer Kochem Nesuchem, and they would go and pour these beautiful drinks, L'avoid Zara, Sheshmo Meni. So therefore, that was the minig. So hadikama osas of drashi the ikashleim badei. She maybe shleima liachish ochal. We just finished the meal, and now they take out a fresh loaf of bread and put on the table. Aganza. But noyis on the shulchan im habsisin together with psisin sheshayir to mechse to l'shem avoid azara avin hachi. It looks like for all those that are familiar with the minhagei God and minhagei mani that this we're starting a brand new meal. We all ate. The avoid azara is going to come in now. Is going to have a new meal. However, if there's no, you don't put a brand new shleima, you just leave those psisim, those are good to zach, because Rashi afterwards says, if, next Rashi, v'adalekeh shleim badayu, temzumonim li'ani, because then whatever crumbs that you've left on the table, then this will now be prepared. When ani comes in, he'll be able to go and eat from something. Anyway, continuing on the Gemara, Zukti Mora, v'ayitev yom rav luzah, kalamachlef b'diburai ki'ilu oivet avoid azar. Now, there's two pshatim over here, machlef b'diburai. The way Rashi learns is that you're masquerading your voice so that people should think it's someone else. See, Rashi, machlef b'diburai, says Rashi, mishana b'diburai shlo yehi nikr. He changes his voice or the way he speaks so that he should not be discernible as to who is speaking. So if you're machlef b'diburai, kiloi v'dazor, if Hochet says, v'isa b'enav kim sateya, this is Yaakov Avinu that's saying to his mother, if I'm going to go now in front of Yitzchak, Yitzchak, as we know, had at that time very poor eyesight, and if I'm going to masquerade like my brother, as if I happen to be Esav, I will look like a misateya. What means misateya? Uksivasa. By Avodah Zarah it says, Hevel Hema Maisi Ta'atuim. So you see that misateya and ta'atuim are related, so therefore if you're machlim b'diburai, you're masquerading, then it's kiloi v'Avodah Zarah. So apparently this is not just in your voice, because when we're talking about Yaakov Avinu, he didn't change his voice at all when he appeared in front of Yitzchak, but just the fact that he is coming as if he is Esav, he's masquerading as if he's his brother, that's like a form of Avodah Zarah, Misateya, and Tatu. So that's how Rashi learns. The Meiri learns, Kol Machlef B'Diburai means a person who's constantly changing his Dibur. He says X and he does Y. Yeah, of course, I'm going to go and pay back your choyv tomorrow morning, $100, and then he comes back the next morning, oh, I changed my mind, I'm going to pay you next week. In other words, people that keep on changing their dibur and not being mekayim, they're not fulfilling their pledges, not fulfilling what they say. Whatever they say is basically worthless. You know, whatever he says, he's just talk and talk and talk, because the next day he's going to do something totally different. The Amr Abluza. What means mistakel be'erva? So Rashi has two pshatim. One pshat is mistakel be'erva. We're talking about erva mamish, meaning the mokim erva down below, as opposed to just seeing women improperly dressed. Kashtoi nin eres. What says kashtoi nin eres? Rashi says that means that the zera that he has in his aver down below will lose its potency. If a person wants to have potent zera, he should not go and look at erva. Shnemet says in the pasuk, erio, which is like the word erva, to'er kashtecha, means the keshes. Keshes is a bow and arrow, and since by a person that engages in tashmish, there's an ejection of the zera, so it's like the arrow is flying from the keshes, from the bow, and that's why the word kashtecha in this connection means like the aver. So the aver will be emptied from its potency that it had until now. That's one pshat in Rashi. Second pshat in Rashi is that a person who is constantly thinking about hirhurim and the dvarim shebe erva, that not only is that going to weaken the zera in his kashas, but it's going to weaken his whole body totally. Look at the Rashi, kashtin and eris. Rashi about 10 lines from the top on the left-hand margin. Remember, there's no Toisvis in Chelik. Everything from now to the end of the Perek is all Rashi's on both sides. Kashin Eretz Rashi, Koyach, Koishi Eber Shaloi, Ninar. What does it mean that the Koyach is Ninar? She'enei Moilid. it loses its potency. He still has zera down below, but it no longer can impregnate a woman. Shenema eriya toir kashtecha. Eriya shata mistakel ba mamish be'ervasa. If you're looking mamish at the mokam erva, he toir kashtecha. That will cause your keshes to lose its force, its potency. Tover acher hamistakel hamachashiv ba'aroyas. Not a person who's looking and gazing, but rather a person who's thinking about aroyas all the time. Teishas ish. Then kashli givoidus yodoin neris misahalechas umismaetes kemoi. So now again, we're not talking about the keshes down below, but rather we're talking about his gvuras yodoin. The whole strength of that individual becomes weaker and weaker. Motzaksus menara achlish leshemiyam. The word menara means you shake it out once every 30 days. Inami kemoi v'yina Hashem. So Rashi is just trying to show how your gvura is being shook. Just or shaken, just like you have by the Ksus Menara. So you have the two pshatim. Number one, what means mistakel be'erva? It means looking at the erva mamish, or means thinking about it. In Kashaneris, you lose the potency of the zera down below, or does it mean you lose all of your koiches, and the person becomes weaker and weaker? The Omer Abluza, another pshat. The oil, another member from Rabluza. Oilam havi kabel v'kayim. The one means kovel over here. Rashi says kovel means that a person is an onov. And then v'sichya. What does that mean? If a person conducts himself with modesty and humility, v'kaim, he will have a kiyum in this world. Don't be an arrogant son of etc. You have to go and be a person who is much more an onav person, conducts himself with humility and modesty. It says, when we're talking about Hilchis Negoyim, it says in the Mishnah, Beis Oifel Ein Poischen Loi Chaloines Lirois Negoy. What happens if a person thinks that he has a Nega Babayis? So he has to call the Koyin, and like the Pasuk says, Koyin, Knega Nira Li Babayis. It appears to me that there's a Nega, that this happens to be a big blotch on the wall, and I'm afraid that this might be a Nega Tzaras. Come and take a look at it. He comes and takes a look at it, and he finds out that the bias is oifel. It's a very dark house. There are no light fixtures, and there are very few windows. And he goes to the wall where the balabos says, I think there's a blotch over here, and he does not see the blotch because of the fact that it's dark. Says the Mishnah, there is no requirement to go and break open chaloinis, and presumably there's no requirement to go and light candles or bring a flashlight. Liris nigger. If you can't see it, you can't see it. It has to be lemari einei hakoin, that the coin with his own normal eyesight can go and see it. If he can't see it, you're potter. Ah, so what do you see from this? That a person who accepts upon himself to live in the dark, so to speak, in other words, he doesn't pride himself and put himself at the mizrach band. He's happy to be there in the back row where it's a little bit darker than in the front. Oh, so that person, it'll always work out well for him that he won't have a problem. Lirois nigoy, people won't see any nigoyim, and the kaim, he'll be able to continue to survive and exist, as opposed to a house where there is a negat tzaras and there's plenty of light, then that house may eventually have to be demolished. Shmamina. So if you look at the Rashi again, Rashi is here in the middle of the Omid, left hand side, havi kabel. Have the onav be an onav v'tichya, then kayim, then you will be able to survive and live. Kovel loshen oifel asei atzmacha oifel v'shofel. Make yourself like you're in the dark. Make yourself b'shiflus with humility. By oifel ein poiskel mechalonis of Rashi kinega nearly b'boyes that the balabus calls the coin and says it looks like a nega. Ksiv to mashma nira memela. You can, it can be seen. V'oy dechsiv li v'loy la'oyri. The fact that it's dark in the house, that saves the house. You don't have to go and break up a window to be able to see it. The coin can't see it. Okay, I can't see it, so you're off the hook. So here too, if you make yourself like you're not seen, you live in the shadows, as opposed to trying to be a pompous, arrogant individual, then you'll survive, kayim, you'll be able to survive in society.
There's no trying to, if you suspect there may be a nega there, to ferret it out, to see the B'dikas Chametz.
By B'dikas Chametz you need a candle, but you don't need a candle
like
here.
Bugs in the water.
Bugs in the water, yes.
If you don't see them, luckily they don't.
If you don't see them.
They don't exist. Omer B'tavi, Omer B'yoshi, Ma'idach, so it says in the Pasuk, She'oil v'oitzer rocham, eret loisova moim. Now this pasuk is a pasuk in, I believe, Mishlei, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is saying that there are three things in this world that are never satisfied. Sheol means the Gehenim, which means also the cemetery. Cemetery is never satisfied. They're always happy to go and bring in more residents. And it's a very grave situation, but that's the way it is. The Oitzer Rocham is referring to women that wish to participate in bia with their husbands. They're not satisfied. And Eretz Lisovamoyim, and land is not satisfied with the amount of water. In other words, these three constantly want more. The Sheol, the Gehenim, wants more patients, wants more residents. The Oitzer Rocham, the women want to have the benefit of living with their husbands. And the Eretz, the land, is not happy with the amount of water. It could always use more rain. Okay, so that's the Poshim Pshat and the Pasuk in Mishlei. But the Gemara is now asking a question. How come Sheol and Rechem come together in the Pasuk one after the other? Just like a Rechem, a woman's womb, initially it's machnis, the zera of the husband, umoitzi, and eventually gives out the child 9 months later. Af sheol, the same thing applies to the Gehenim, which means not only Gehenim, the cemetery. Machnis, it brings a new residence, umoitzi, but eventually they're all going to move out at the time of Tchias HaMeisim. V'advarim kal v'choymen, umadach rechem shemachnisim boi v'cheshoi. When the zera enters into the woman, that's done in a very quiet fashion. You don't do it publicly. But when the child is formed, is born, then the child leaves because the koilis. The child is screaming and crying when the child is extricated from the mommy's womb. Sheoil shemachnisim by bekoilis. Typically, when a person passes away, people, the mourners are crying, and there's a lot of hysteria. Nebuch, someone passed away. And then shemaitzim imenu because the koilis. At the time of Tchias HaMeisim, Avada Nevada, there's going to be Koyle Koyleis. Mikan Tshuva La'oimim Ein Tchias HaMeisim in the Torah. Oh, that's yet another raya about Tchias HaMeisim. The one means that the Moitzim HaMen of Koyle Koyleis says Rashi because it said in the Pasuk, V'hoya B'yem Ahu Yitoka B'shoifer Godoil Uvo Oivdim Yet Tzitzrayim, etc. So these, at the time of Tchias HaMeisim, it's going to be Koyl Godol Tzitzan Levidik. Koyle Koyleis. Zotim Arvayit, the Tanav Eliyot, Tzadikim Shos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahach Yoisan Einan Koizun Liafarim. When the Tzadikim are going to have Tchias HaMeisim, they will not pass away a second time. They're going to remain forever. Shneamar V'hoya Nishar Batzion V'Hanoisim B'Yisholoyim Kodesh Yoyim Aloyim Kol HaKosim L'Chaim B'Yisholoyim. So Hanishar Batzion V'Hanoisim B'Yisholoyim, these people that are now left over in Tzion and Yisholoyim, meaning that they've been resurrected, Tchias HaMeisim, they'll be called Kodesh. They'll remain L'chaim. Ma Kodesh L'Oilam Kaim. Kodesh is referring to Rabbeinu Shalom. Kaviyach Rabbeinu Shalom lives forever. Afheim, these Tzadikim also live in Kayom, and they will also live forever. Now the question you're going to ask is, says Yimar, Vim Toimar Oysen Shonim Shosek Vishborchu L'chadish Ben Asayilomai. There's going to be a years period. That how long are the years? We're going to see Mechem and Taft Tzadik Zayin. I want to peek at it just for one moment. It's going to be a machloek, because we're talking about 1,000 years or 2,000 years. If you look at five lines from the bottom of the Amud Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph, 97a, five lines from the bottom. Amr of Ketina, Shis Alfi Shani Havi Alma, the world will exist for 6,000 years. We're almost there, right? We're 5785. Almost at 6,000 years. V'chad chorev. And then there's going to be 1,000 years where it's going to be chorev. Shenema during that period of time. Shenema niska shem levada b'yema hu. And abaya oma trei chorev. Not 1,000 years, but 2,000 years. Shenema yichayenu miyomoyim. Etc. Anyway, of course, this is very esoteric. A little bit difficult for us to fathom what this is all about. But bottom line is, there will be a period of time where everything is going to be desolate. And then a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochel, is going to prepare the world for a kind of a second rebirth. So now those tzaddikim that are going to live forever, what about them? If they're going to live forever and they're not going to be buried, so what's going to happen with them? Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give them wings like those of eagles. They're going to be able to go and glide over. They're going to be able to fly over the waters. What is this pasuk telling us? Loinira, they don't have to be worried, these tzaddikim. Bahomer Eretz, when the land is going to be retransformed, recreated during that 1,000 or 2,000 year period, because they're going to be able to fly over the seas and the rivers. If you're constantly on the fly and you're never sitting down and never resting, maybe that's going to be painful. No, those that believe in Hashem, their koyach will constantly be resurrected and transformed and refreshed. That's what we were talking about. They're going to have these aver wings to be able to go like nesharim, like eagles, and fly. Yerutzu, will let you go. They'll be able to go quickly and they won't tire. Yelchu, they'll walk, they'll go. Will let you offer. They won't become weary, etc. So they're not going to have any such pains or suffering. Frank Dimar, Benelim, and Mesim, Shehechi, Yecheskel. Why don't we go and learn from the Mesim that Yecheskel was Machayim? What does that mean? If you look at the Rashi in the right hand side, fifth line, Venelov Mimesim Shehechi Yecheskel, Shechozru Umesu. That Yecheskel, as we'll talk about at some length in the Gemara Sholi, and if you look in Tanakh in Yecheskel, it says Yecheskel found or saw the Atzomes Hayeveshois, and Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Yecheskel, now be Machayim Mesim, those Atzomes Hayeveshois. We're going to have a major machloikis in the Gemara whether this actually transpired, that he was Machayim Mesim, or whether this is more B'derech Moshel, the Kodesh Baruch Hu said as a parable, yeah, be Machayim them, but not that they actually stood up and lifted. We're going to have a full discussion about this momentarily. But the Gemara at the moment assumes that we're talking about the real McCoy, that he was Machayim Mesim. So the Nevi'im Mimesim, let's learn from them. Shechozru Umesu, that after Yecheskel was Machayim Mesim, they passed away a second time. Not immediately, but after another 20, 50 years, whatever. Maybe the same thing applies with them, that the tzaddikim that will become Tchias HaMesim, maybe they will also go back to their offering. That's what the Gemara is asking Akasha on Tanuvei Leo, that it says, tzaddikim shekadosh baruch hu lahachyos and ein achoz afarim. Maybe if you learn from what is our previous experience with Tchias HaMesim on this world, our experiences with Yecheskel, and they lived, but afterwards they passed away. So maybe the same thing will happen to those tzaddikim. So back to the Gemara. The Nail of Memesim Shehechi Yecheskel, why don't we learn from there that they don't live forever? So Gemara, Sovolim Kaman Di Amar Be'emes Moshel Haya. He learns like the Man Di Amar that in fact there was no such real instance of Yecheskel being Mechayim Mesim. It was all Derech Moshel. The sign we have a Bryce, Reb Lezer Oimer. Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel Omdu Al Ragleim Va'omru Shira. The Mesim that Yecheskel was Mechaya, real people, that he was Machayim, the Atzamas Yevashis, and they came alive. They stood up on their legs, the Omru Shira, and they said Shira. And then, subsequently, eventually they passed away. Ma Shira Omru, what Shira did they say? Hashem Memis B'tzedek, U'machayim B'rachmim. Kodesh Baruch Hu takes away people's lives B'tzedek in justice, because a person sinned, he doesn't live forever. Machayim B'rachmim, after Kodesh Baruch Hu has his compassion, and he is Machayim Meis. Rabbi Shua Aimer, Shira Zu Amr. They said the following Shira, Hashem Memis Amchaya, Moirid Sheoil Vayoal. Kodesh Baruch Hu caused a person to pass away, Umachaya, and then he relives, he gets resurrected. And Moirid Sheol, this is the Pasuk is repeating itself twice, like you have that often in Tanakh. Moirid Sheol, the person goes down below, the Gehenim, down into the cemetery, down into the grave, Vayoal, and eventually he gets uplifted. So here, that's what they sang when they had the Tchias HaMesim. That's what Reb Lez and Rabbi Shua hold. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Emes Moshel Haya. The Gemara is going to ask, what means Emes Moshel? Emes means it's Emes. Moshel means it's a parable, which is not Emes. So Omer Le Reb Nechemia, give me a break. Emes Lama Moshel, the Moshel Lama Emes. I mean, this seems to be contradictory. Not redundant, it's contradictory. If it's Emes, if it's true, then it's not a Moshel. If it's a Moshel, then it's not true. Ela Be Emes Moshel Haya. You have to add the word base. You have to add a letter base. Not emes, it's true. Moshel, it's a parable. But rather, be emes, in truth, it's only a moshel. It never happened. Says Imara, not so fast, as we'll see in a moment. Reb Lez ben Yishe Rebrich and Reb Yosef Glili, Oimer, Mesim Shehech Yecheskel Ol Eretz Yisrael, the Mesim that he was Machaya, eventually they left Bavel, and they went to Eretz Yisrael. V'nosu Noshem, and they got married. V'yilid banim banas, and they had children. And Omad Reb Yehuda ben Meseira Raglav, the famous Reb Yehuda ben Meseira, Atam Netzivim, Mitzdoskal Yushaloyim, very famous from Mesechus Plachim. Anyway, what Reb Yehuda ben Meseira say? V'omar, Ani m'bnei b'neim, I'm an einikel of those atzomas yeveshois that Yecheskel was mechaya. V'halol, you see these tefillin over here? Tefillin sheniach li avi abba. This I got from Isaiah de Mehem. He was among them, and I received the tefillin from him. So therefore, Yehuda ben Meseira is saying, Tosanish ka marshal, it's true, and I am to be the witness because I'm an angel. Uman ninu. Now, Feiti Mora, who were the Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel? Who were they? And the Gemara is going to have three or four different possibilities. Omrav, Ilu b'nei Ephraim, Shemonu leketz v'to. These are b'nei Ephraim that they left Mitzrayim early before the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why did they leave early? Because they made a cheshbon as to when Yetzias Mitzrayim is supposed to take place, and when they felt that the time had come, even though Moshe and everybody else was staying in Mitzrayim, they said, Rabbi Yisai, the Torah says, this is the time, we're leaving. What was the mistake that they made? So Rashi says that at the time of the Bris Ben Absarim, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram that your Zera, your children are going to be Ger Zia Yezeracha Be'eretz Lehem Arba Me'oshana, 400 years. And who's the Zera that Avram Avinu we're talking about? We're talking about Yitzchak Avinu, and of course, and after that's Yaakov and all the children and Enoklech of Avram Avinu. So it said at the time Bris Ben Absarim, Kiger Yezeracha Be'eretz Lehem Arba Me'oshana. When does that 400 years begin? That 400 years begins at the time that Yitzchak Avinu was born. Because that's the Zera, Ger Yezeracha. So, when was Yitzchak born? 30 years after the Bris Ben Absarim. That's why there's another pasuk that says that the entire time is 430 years. Because if you count from Leidas Yitzchak, it's 400. If you count from Bris Ben Absarim, it's 430. Anyway, these B'nai Ephraim, when they heard that says in the pasuk that Ger Yezeracha, Be'eretz Lehem, Arba Me'oshana, they counted the 400 years from the Bris Ben Absarim. And therefore, 30 years before Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim with Moshe Rabbeinu and the Kriyas Yamsef and all the rest, after all the Makkos, 30 years before that, the B'nai Ephraim already left on their own. And unfortunately, they were all slaughtered and they were all killed, as we'll see in the Gemara, by the Anshe Gas. So, what happens now? Hundreds of years later, now in the times of Yecheskel, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Pimachai Mason, these B'nai Ephraim. They meant well, they had good intentions, a good heart, but unfortunately they made a mistake in the Cheshbonis. So Eilu B'nai Ephraim Shemonu Leketz, they had made a Cheshbon for the Ketz, but they made a mistake. Shenever, B'nai Ephraim, who were the children of Ephraim? So now there are a whole bunch of names. There's a machloikis, whether these are all brothers, or these are Eneklach, one on the other, or some of them are brothers, and some are Eneklach. B'nai Ephraim Shusolach, Ubered B'noi, V'tachas B'noi. Some learn it. Shusalach, Bered, and Tachas were all three sons of Ephraim. Or they say, no, Shusalach was the only son. Bered was the son of Shusalach. Tachas was the Benoi of Bered. Ve'el Oda Benoi, V'sachas Benoi. Two Tachas, and apparently one was named after the Zeda. V'zeved Benoi, V'shusalach Benoi. That's really named after the first Shusalach. V'ezu Ve'elod, V'harogim Anshigas, and Noilodim Ba'aretz. The Anshigas were the ones that killed Nebuch, that a whole Shevet Ephraim, all of those B'nai Ephraim, that left 30 years before the Ketz. Uksiv, V'yisabel Ephraim, Aviyim Yomim Rabim, V'yivoye Echav V'nachmai. So we see that this is a terrible period of mourning for all those B'nai Ephraim that Nebuch passed away. So, years and years later, Yecheskel was Mechayim Mesim. That's Rav. Shmuel Amar Eilu B'nai Odom Shekavru B'tchias HaMesim. These are the people that were koyver tchias amaisa. Shem of Yirmei Lai ben Odom who atzomer seila kol beis Yisrael hema. Hinei oimrim yovshu atzvei seinu. Vi of the tikva seinu. Nigzarnu lonu. So the pasuk is saying as if these atzomer seyveishes, when they were still alive, they were saying about the other yveishes, and they were saying that we're eventually also going to be atzomer yveishes. We've lost all of our tikva, all of our hopes, all of our aspirations. Nigzarnu lonu, that's a gzeira, that we're dead forever. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu specially made dafka these that were koyfer b'tchias ha'meisim, he made tchias ha'meisim, so that this would be a model or an example for all other people, that many people are covered. It's, come on, that doesn't. People lying on the ground, they're going to go into dust, then nothing left. This is going to become a person again. Yes, it's going to become a person again. I don't believe it. Well, remember, 50 years ago, there were all these non-believers, the non-believers in Tchias and Mason Club. Guess what? All of them are now believers because they're now all running around because Yecheskel was Machai Mason. Kadosh Baruch Hu especially took these Kofrim and Machai Mason that they should be the role model for the world. It's true, Rabbi.
If you Kofrim Tchias and Mason,
I know the beginning of the parak says you're not Zoicha. Right. That's in general terms. It's not as a result of the chayt in Iska means as a result of the chayt you're getting schar. Here's not as a result of the chayt, they were just kofrim, they eventually died, and eventually they were resurrected at the times of Yecheskel. But you're right, the Mishnah said at the beginning of the parak that was a special, exceptional case, but in general, a person's kofrim will never be zoicha to Tchias Meis. But we're not only giving that case, we're giving two other cases of rishoyim. These people are rishoyim gemurim from A to Z. Not even a lachluchas, not even a moisture, a moistness, a mitzvah. So that's again the role model to tell you. Totally yovish, they don't even have a scintilla of mitzvah, of schar, of reward. Gunish, these are capital crime guys. These are real capital criminals. Nevertheless, the Kodesh Baruch, if he wants to, Tchias HaMeisim, anybody and everybody. They went and etched out on the walls of the Heichel, Shkotzim Ramasim, in forms of animals, as well as in forms of Vayda Zara. On the walls of the Heichel of Beis HaMikdash, these Rishoyim went and made all different types of artist designs and coloring and etchings, all that on the wall. Ksiv hasam avireini aleim saviv saviv. What means avireini saviv saviv? The avireini means I passed over them saviv saviv to be mechayim esim. And since the previous pasuk ended off mechuka ala kir saviv, so I learned saviv saviv that these were the rishayim that were resurrected by Yecheskel. If Yochanan Amar elam esim shem bikas dura, these are the famous esim and bikas dura. Vus is the Bikas Dura, Vus is the Nesim. The Omer of Yoichanam in Har Eshel ad Rabbas, Bikas Dura, from all the way to Har Eshel until Rabbas, is a place called Bikas Dura. What's so important about Bikas Dura? Shebeshoah Shehigla Nebuchadnezzar Rosh Has Yisrael, when Nebuchadnezzar took everybody and threw them into Golis, Hoyibhen Bachurim, they were very, very handsome young men. Shoyimeganen Esachama Biyoifen. They were so handsome that the women would look at the men as opposed to looking at the sun. Even though the sun is so bright and beautiful, these bachurim were more handsome and they were megana. It's as if they degraded or undermined the brilliance of the sun, b'yoifyon, with their handsomeness. And the kazios, these are the Babylonian women or girls, would go and see these bachurim, v'shoifos zavos, just looking at them, then they would start bleeding because of the great desire that they had. Oh, what a handsome bachur. So now they told their own husbands, you see these bachurim. And the balei were now worried about that they have no competition, that the women are not going to want to live with their husbands, they'd rather go after these bachurim. So balei and the melech and the balei said to the melech, tziva melech v'horgim. The melech said, kill them all out so they should not be an enticement for these goyish women. And they still were Shafei Azava. Why were they still Shafei Azava? Says Rashi, because even though they were dead, the brilliance still shone on their faces and on their bodies, and doesn't say whether they were underneath the ground or not.
The memory of them.
If you look at the Rashi on the left hand side, Tziva Melech Vahargan, third line from the top. Tziva Melech Vahargan, Adayin Hoy Shoifais, Shahois Nearest Ziv To'aram, that you could still see the brilliance and the handsomeness of their faces, or of their appearance. Tziva Melech Varamsim. So therefore, back to the Gemara, Tziva Melech Varamsim, the Melech said, we cannot allow this to happen because it's causing so much marital strife in the kingdom. We're talking about that they're dead already, but nevertheless, that brilliant light, so the girls are not happy with their husbands, etc. Varamsim, and therefore, he said that they should all be tread upon, so there should be no light still shining from them. So all of these are the machloikis as to who Yecheskel was Mechayim Mesim. Was Yecheskel Mechayim Mesim the Bikastura like we had, or was it the Bnei Ephraim, or was it people of Koifet Chiesa Mesim, or other Rishoyim, people that made etchings on the walls of the Beis Hamikdash, etc.
If the Bnei Ephraim, they died in the land of Derech Plishtim, and Yecheskel Ben Buzi is in Bavel, how...
Twice, no, that's a good question, I don't know. Toner Rabbanan, fourth wide line. It was now the time Nebuchadnezzar decided to throw Hanani Mishol Vazari into the furnace. Like that last Lushan that we just had now. Of the Bikasura people. Nebuchadnezzar was Machaye. These Atzamois, apparently the Atzamois had not developed yet, didn't have the full flesh on them, or maybe this more just using this as a statement. Anyway, these atzomis of the mason Bikastura came, and they gave like a patch to Nebuchadnezzar al panav. That's the Porsche shot. Parashi says that it could be that Nebuchadnezzar had, let's say, forks or knives or whatever formed from some of the bones these fellows, of these Bochrim that were killed in Bikastura. And now, when Akash Baruch Hu through Yecheskel was Mechayim Meisim, guess what happened? Those bones that he was using now as a chwais, as a spoon to eat his soup, went and hit him in the nose or hit him in the face. That, of course, the bone is now has now tchiyah. It now has life again. So it started hitting him. Omer Matim and Shalel, what's going on? What's happening? These Bnei Dura, these bones, what's going on? Omer Loi Chavrim Shalelu Mechayim Meisim Bikas Dura. He said, you should know the Hanani Mishul Vazari, the ones that you want to go and throw into the fire, they're the chaver of Yecheskel, who is doing his Tchias Amesim of the Bikas Dura, and this is the Bikas Dura bones that are now hitting you, and this is a result of Tchias Amesim. Nebuchadnezzar was no fool, and he said, really? There's a person alive that's being Mechai Amesim, and that's what's happening now? Oh, my Apostle Yomer, he began saying, Apostle Gendaniel, Asoyi Kamer Ravravin, how great are the oisois of Hashem Yisbarach, the tamoyi kamatkifen, and the mofsim that Kodesh Baruch is performing, how great, how tremendous they are. Malchusei malchus olam, the malchus of Kodesh Baruch Hu must be a malchus that's going to live forever. Vishultane and his regime and his kingdom, dor v'dor, that's going to go on for all generations. And as you can see, Nebuchadnezzar was very impressed by Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he spoke to him in very, very great terms. To the extent that the Gemara says, "Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Yutzak Zov Reiseach LeToich Piv Shel Oisa Rasha." I don't know if he means this literally or poetically. He says, "Pour molten gold into the mouth of this Rasha of Nebuchadnezzar." Shel Moli Bar Malach V'Sotrei Al Piv. If it wasn't for the fact that a Malach came and he constrained him from continuing in this pasuk to extol the virtues of Kodesh Baruch Hu, at the rate he was going, he could have gone and undermined the beautiful Shir Zishbachis that David HaMelech says in Sefer Tehillim. The beauty of what he's saying, he heard about Yecheskel, but Tchias Amesim, oi, Asoyi Kam Ravravin, Tamoyi Kam Takivin. So we were in danger of his
upstaging
David HaMelech in Sefer Tehillim, and therefore the Malach had to stop him. Tana Rabbanan, Shishin Nisan Nasa Boisayayin. This time when Yecheskel was throwing, not Yecheskel, when Nebuchadnezzar were throwing the three Hanani Mishol Vazari into the Kivshan Ha'esh, six miracles happened. The Elohim. Number one, Tzofa Kivshan. Usually a Kivshan, a furnace, would be submerged in the ground, and it started floating out of the ground. The Nifrat Kivshan, and the walls of the Kivshan, some of the walls fell over, fell to the side. The reason why it fell to the side, that you should be able to see what's going on in the Kivshan. Kivshan is normally enclosed from all sides. After all, it's a burning furnace. It's dangerous. So you don't know what's going on with Hanani Mishol Vazari. So some of the walls fell to the side. V'humak soidai. And now, so the Rashi has a couple of pshat of humak soidai. Either the soid of what's going on now is revealed as a result of the fact that the walls come falling down. But he has another pshat that's not soidai, but humak sidai. What means humak sidai? The plaster that is holding this Kivshan together, Nimsa started to melt and started to fall apart. Mikoil miroiv hachamimus, because it was so hot, and therefore it's now totally transparent, and you can go and see what's going on with Hanani Mishol Vazari inside the Kivshan Ha'esh. So continue.
Rashi has a Girsa in the Soro with a Reish, not a Dalet.
That's another Girsa. Rashi has three different Pshat.
Right.
Look at the beginning of the Rashi. First Surah Ra, right? Lishnachrona Humak Soidoi, Kemo Yisoidoi.
Right.
So it'll be the Yisoid. Avel Moiri Goras, Vahumak Sidoi. Sidoi is a Lush on the plaster. Sida Kivshan, Nimsa, that became. It started to melt and fall away. Merif Chamimus because of how hot it was. Kach Shemati. Vohisa Meshechas the Meirochoik, and therefore that plaster now spilled out and was extended, going far away. Amihevush Oisa Sid from the warmth and from the heat of that Sid. Nisrufu Oisa and Sheshlichu Chanan Mishol Vazaria the Teich Kipshen Aish. Not only didn't it go and kill Chanan Mishol Vazaria, but rather the molten plaster that is now pouring out from that Kipshen fell onto those people that threw Chanan Mishol Vazari into the Kipshen Aish, and they were the ones that burned. So instead of the ones inside burning, the people outside that threw them. So back to our Gemara. So he had six Nisim. So the first one was Safa Kivshan, that it became uplifted, no longer submerged. It started floating. When it first Kivshan, that the walls came, some of the walls started falling away. You can see directly into the Kivshan. Humak Soidai, again, a couple of Pshatim in the Rashi, but one of the Pshatim is Soidai, the Sidai, the plaster started melting, and it fell onto those that threw them in. V'nepach tzelem alpanav. The whole thing over here was Nebuchadnezzar had this big tzelem, and he wanted everybody to bow down. Chanan Mishol Vazari refused to bow down, so that tzelem fell down on its face. V'nisrufu arba malchios, and four malchios. Now, normally four malchios would mean four kings, but as we'll see in a moment, that malchios really just means different levels of governing, whether you're talking about princes, governors, mayors, four different levels of political appointees. And then there were Arba Malchios, and they also were burned. V'yach Yecheskel es Amesim Mikasdura, like the Gemara said before, that at that time, Yecheskel was Machai Mesim, and those bones came and hit him, Nebuchadnezzar, in the head, and then he stopped, and then he said that beautiful pasuk, Asoi Kamaravrim. V'kula Gemara, as far as we said six Nisim, five out of the six, we don't really have a rai from a pasuk. We just have the Gemara b'Kabbalah. The arba malchios, however, that four malchios, four levels of political appointees and officials, that is already a pasuk. The Chassidim says the pasuk in Nebuchadnezzar Malka Sholach leMechnish. He wanted to call together Achtarpanaya, Signaya, Upachvasa. Those are three levels of officials.
What were the Tarpanim, like we had in the Megillah last
week? Exactly, right. Exactly. And the Skanim, of course, like a Skan, Kohen Gadol, Skanim Melech, an assistant, Pachvoser, or Pachim. Yeah, Pachis, exactly. What were their names? What were their designations? The Adar Gazaria, Gadbaraya, the Tavraya, Taftaya. So those were the four. B'chol Shultani Medinza, as well as all the other Shultanis, all the other political guys in the Medina. So you have the four Malchios, which we just described. Uksiv, and you have another Pasuk. Isi Govern Yudoin, the Govern Yudoin, the Yidin came. Uksiv, the Meskanshin, again they collected together, they gathered together the word Meskanshin, like Knois is called Yehudim, Meskanshin to go and gather together. Again, Acher Shapanai, Seganayu Pachbasa, V'hadivrei Malka, Chazin, the Gevraya Elech. And then the Melech saw all of them. Anyway, bottom line is that all of these four Malchias were burned at the time together as one of the Nisim that happened when Nebuchadnezzar threw Chanan Mishol Vazari into the Kipshan Ha'esh. We'll stop over here. Mitzvah to be continued tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.